Philippians chapter 4. We're going to continue our mini series there on protecting the peace of God that is to rule in our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And I hope you have been able to implement the truths that we have learned in this study. I trust that you've been proactive and understanding how the power of prayer protects the peace of God. When you have that burden and just seeking the Lord's face, casting your burdens on the Lord, knowing He will sustain thee, that is something I hope we've all realized, and not just realized, but are actively pursuing God in prayer. It'll protect us from the robbers of peace. But also, we've looked at not only the power of prayer, but the power of what, church? The power of prayer and also the power of praise. Amen. Praise. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. And I just believe there is so much power in that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it. But we have prayer. We have praise to protect us against those robbers of anxiety, those robbers of peace, those anxiety and things of that nature, and being full of worry and care about what's going on in our world. About it could be something personal in our lives. It could be a family member that you, when you start meditating on it, boy, it starts robbing you of that peace. So what do you need to do? You go to prayer, you go to praise, and then you go to having the right perspective. That's the third P, or pondering, the right pondering, your thoughts. And He gave us these six specific characteristics. I related them to patrolmen, being on patrol of your heart. These right here, look at them again. What are they? It is those things that are true, those things that are honest, those things that are just, those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, and those things that are of good report. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you'll notice when He says there at the end of that verse, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That word think there is not just, hey, if you get around to it and you have some time just to meditate, you know, just to daydream. That is not the tense of this verb right here. It is an imperative. And you know what it means, church? It means think on these things. Think, 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 think. You know, we need to have a constant thinking of these characteristics, but not just a constant. We need to understand that it is a critical matter. Because here's the thing, let's be honest, when the citadel, the fortress breaks down and the robbers of peace get in to my mind and my heart, I always end up in some very dark places. And we've all been there, I'm pretty sure. And it's no fun. And it's not always easy to get out. But when the more we let in, the harder it gets. But what we can do is, by the grace of God and through Jesus Christ, to let that citadel be built to where it keeps the robbers of peace out. Let's continue looking at these descriptions. We've looked at the first three. We've looked at those things which are true, and not just things that might be true, or, you know, things that are false, of course. But no, things that are true, that we know to be true. And we know that the greatest truth is the Word of God. And then, I'm sorry? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, you know, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just. Now, we talked about those three last week. What I would like to talk about is that those things which are pure. And we may get into lovely and also good report. But we know that God's Word has told us here that we are not to be worrying about anything, but by prayer, by praise, and by pondering. So may the Lord help us to understand. Let's look at that word. Notice with me the word pure. What does that word mean? Well, that basically can be defined as that which is innocent, that which is modest, that which is chastity. It is that which is clean in perspective of God's word. You know, it's interesting how in our society, with the news outlets, social media, things that sometimes you hear discussed in the break room at work, or the shopping line at Walmart, some of the things that you are hearing about, and sometimes on the magazine rack as you go into the checkout line, the stuff that you see there. I mean, a majority of those things that we come in contact with are not pure. They're just not clean. And our minds, if they start to thinking upon those things, you really have to put up the guard that no, God wants me to think on those things which are pure. It's interesting how in our media force, because I call it that, it's like filth floats to the top, and purity and innocency sinks to the bottom. And it's like we have to, as God's children, we have to be careful not to get fascinated, as we alluded to last week, to that which is ugly, impure. Because what it does, it defiles us. It really smears us as we ourselves come in contact with it, with our thinking, and especially if we meditate on it. Because I honestly think that we all battle with this, you know, these things that come to our mind that are impure, whatnot. And it's not a sin to be tempted. So you have those opportunities where you hear the conversation, you see the article, whatever the case may be. Some of your senses are coming in contact, things that are impure. It's not a sin to be tempted by those things, because we would always be in sin, okay? But what it is a sin is when we give in to that temptation. We dwell on that temptation. We take an adventure with that temptation. And we do further exploring. And that's where you and I have to be disciplined in our thinking to avoid that. So we understand that's the idea of those things which are pure. Anything in life that you can find this way, anything, God is telling us that's what we want. Then he says, whatsoever things are lovely. Very similar, but different word. This talks about, I think this is a very interesting word. This talks about that which is beautiful. God says, think on those things which are beautiful, that are lovely, that are attractive to God. That is what should be taking up our thinking, you know. And I think in this word right here, lovely, it carries the connotation, church, as something that directs us towards love, towards loving. Do the things that you think about and feed on, does it cultivate a love in your heart to help you love better? That's what the idea is. Something lovely is something that helps you love better. I don't have to tell anybody here. Most of our news outlets that we hear on TV and different things of that nature, they're trying to get us to hate each other. They are. And God's people, we have to be so discerning about that. Is what I'm taking in, is it provoking me to love? And so that is what I am to be thinking upon. And I don't need to be filled with hate. I don't need to have even a hint of hate in my life. That's dishonoring to the Lord. But that which is lovely helps me love better. Whatever you're watching in your life, whatever you're listening to, whatever you're reading, is it causing you to love better? Because if you have lovely thoughts, it will help you love better. You know, you need to seek out things that are love-creating, that are love-enhancing. And don't get me the wrong here. I'm not trying to stand up here and be like what some of maybe the hippies used to see. All we need is love. But I'm just telling you tonight what the Word of God is saying. Whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things that are going to help us cultivate a love for a lost world, a love for my brother and sister in Christ, a love that's going to help me love my wife better. It's going to help me love my children better. It's going to help love the church members better. It's just going to help us. Those are the things we want to think on. And then notice what it says next. Not only that which is pure and lovely or beautiful, but then he says whatsoever things are of good report. Now, this is another good one for us. This word good report means we need to be thinking on those things that are praiseworthy. That's what we need to be feeding on. Now, unless someone has misunderstood me, we understand we can't go through life without thinking and witnessing bad things happening. That's just part of life. But as God's people, that's not what we meditate on. That's not what drives this ship. That's not what governs me. That's not what truly conducts my daily life and my thinking. It's going to be the things that God is saying right here. I do have to process some of the mess we see. We have to every day. We have to process it. But this is where Paul is saying, make sure you process it through the right filter. Because this is the filter that Philippians 4:8 that God wants us to take everything in life through. And whatever gets caught in that filter, just like, you know, we got a Brita jug in our home that we use a lot, okay? Now, I don't mind drinking tap water. I'll drink it all the time when I don't feel like waiting for the thing to fill up because one of the kids put it back in the fridge, slap empty. I'm not going to sit around and wait on it. But nevertheless, you know, that filter catches all the impurities. And even the chlorine taste and everything, it'll take it out of that. You know, I got this little backpacking pump that I like taking with me hiking. And you can just go right down to the river where there's a lot of bacteria and everything that'll make you sick if you drink it plain. You just sit there and pump it in your bottle. It takes a while. But guess what? It gives me some clean water to drink. And maybe I'll get sick one day even from doing that, but it's supposed to kill 99.9% of all bacteria. I'm just going to trust that. Well, I want to tell you right now, I can guarantee you by the authority of God's Word, you take every thought through Philippians 4:8, it will kill 100% of the sin thoughts in our life. Amen? So this idea of good report is that which is praiseworthy. Notice I didn't say that which is complaint worthy. Now, again, does that mean we can't give some honest constructive criticism or some honest concern about a situation? Of course we can, as God's people. But again, that's not what's driving my thinking. It's something I can process, but it's not something I dwell on. Because when you dwell on that which is complaint worthy, guess what? Your peace is being taken from you. You're being robbed. You're being robbed. I'm being robbed. No, it stopped at the gate. You're not getting in my heart and mind. I can see it. I can understand it. I can process it and respond to it. Because we have to. God's given us that ability to respond to those things. But I am not to let it in my heart and mind to be the dwelling factor. It's to be that which is praiseworthy. It's literally, I am to be thinking upon those things which call forth praise. You know, you get around the table and somebody's giving a little, like you guys, I think, had some praises earlier. We've had some praises on Wednesday nights before. But you know, we shouldn't just have them on Wednesday nights. How about your dinner table? Do you ever get around and just, isn't it wonderful when somebody says something they accomplished and you respond with, "Oh, that's wonderful." You know what that is? Praiseworthy. Man, that's awesome. Oh, they did? That's great. I'm so glad to hear that. It's just the conversation is geared toward that which is praiseworthy. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. What a blessing. Those types of comments are exactly what he's talking about here. That which is of good report. It means you're reporting the good. Are you one of those people that reports all the bad? I hope you're not one of those people that lights up the room when you leave it. You don't want to be that person. Be the type of person that you light up the room, you go in. And again, that doesn't mean that we can't talk about real issues in life. Please don't misunderstand me. But I hope that it always ends on a good note. We can trust God. We can believe the Lord. God's working. God can help in that. God can change his life, her life. God can change my life. God can meet our need here. We better always end it on a high, praiseworthy note if we want to follow Philippians 4:8. Because we want that of good report. That which is commendable. I don't want to promote a critical atmosphere. You know, you got that crowd that they complain about the way the Sunday school teacher did this, and the way the preacher did this, and the way the song leader did that, and the way the boss is doing this, or your coworker, or the way this, and the name. It's just a habitual, criticism. And you know what's happened? Something has got in your life when you're like that. I've been there more recent than I want to admit to you tonight. But you know what happens when I'm that way? It's a telltale sign that Brinson's peace has been robbed. I'm not at peace when I make that in a habitual way. Let's celebrate the good in life. God's been so good to us. Amen. Let's be praiseworthy people. So take these six and let them change your life. Church, I'm not saying this just to kind of try to be over the top tonight. I'm going to close with this. It is critical that we have these types of thoughts. It's critical to your children. It's critical to your spouse. It's critical to the people that you lead in your workplace or who you follow. Be this person that protects the peace of God through prayer, praise, and perspective. The right kind of pondering. Amen. May God help us. You pray for your preacher. Pray that I would be faithful to these. And I'm praying for you. And let's encourage each other to be these type of people who are thinking according to God's plan. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, thank you that we can have peace in the midst of turmoil. Lord, by these truths that you've set forth and to us about being commanding us not to be worrying about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts through Christ Jesus. God, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful, to think on those things which are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, praiseworthy. God, govern us in a world of negativity, a world of hate, hatred, bitterness, wrath, a world of worry and anxiety. God, raise up a people. Help me, Lord. Help Crooked Creek to be a shining light in a dark world, knowing that we trust our sovereign King and God and give Him all the praise. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.